You're listening to Rhema for Today.
And he couldn't get his eyes open because it's swollen up and he couldn't see. And he had been unconscious, but he came conscious enough there in the emergency room to hear these doctors talking. None of them said, well, there's just no need to fool with him. I mean, he'll be dead in 45 minutes. And some way or another, he got a hold of one of these doctors. He didn't know who it was. His hand was laying down off of the stretcher, you know, and pulled somebody's breeches leg or pants leg, you know, and tried to say something. So this doctor reached down his ear down to his mouth, and he said, no, I'll live and not die. God will help me. And so this was a Baptist young man, doctor, and he said, well, if you've got that kind of faith, I'll take the case. Well, now that fella kept living and kept living until he made a believer in the Holy Ghost and in tongues out of that Baptist doctor.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and Victory Lost. Later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
Well, every day we'd visit her. She's in intensive care, all right, but they let us in there because they realized when we came in, she responded. And so they'd insist that we'd go in and lay hands upon her and pray, praise the Lord, and encourage her. Well, every day she's showing improvements. She's just coming right along. And we were back out of our house. We lived in Garland, a suburb to Dallas. And in the nighttime, before I looked, because it's 4 o'clock in the morning, I suddenly sat straight up in bed just like somebody had touched me. And I knew it was the Lord. I said, Lord, what is it? What is it? What is it? What is it? And I began to search around in my spirit, and I said, Ann's quit me. See, as long as I could get her to agree with me, but I said, she's quit me. I knew her spirit had left me. Can you understand that now? I knew that. And so I said, I said, dear Lord, help me to pray about it. And I lay there and prayed some in tongues and went back off to sleep, see. Well, my wife got up, and then before I ever got up, the phone was ringing off the wall. She got to the phone, and there's one of my other nieces down there, and she said, Uncle Ken Anar, come quick. Come with the nurse. The doctor wants you to come. Ann's given up. She wants to die, she said. Well, I said, see, that's what I knew at 4 o'clock in the morning. We'll get down there just as soon as we can. But they warned us to come because they said, now then, I mean, now there's not really any need of her dying. But if she wants to, she will. And so we rushed down there, but you know, she wouldn't even talk to us. She's saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, but she wouldn't even talk to us. Now, I don't know, but one or two things happened. She got to praying in the Spirit, and I think she got so close to the glory world that she got to looking over there and said, I'd rather be over there than here. I'm talking about from what evidence, some things that she said to others. She never would talk to us, probably her sister there, you see, that she was praying in the Spirit. She got so close to the other world, she got a peek over there, and she wanted to go. Well, you know how to keep somebody here and them wanting to go and you wanting to stay. Huh? So you see, we need to get cleared up a lot about this desire business and agreement business. You know, it's scriptural, it's biblical. But sometimes folks, it's the easiest thing in the world to die. I know I've been there. In fact, I've been dead twice. That's the easiest thing in the world to die. The hardest thing to do is to live. And a lot of folks just get tired after a while, and they just rather go on and stay here. And it isn't a matter that faith and prayer and all doesn't work. It's just a matter that was their desire, that was their will. And you can't push your desires and your will off on them. Are you still out here? You're going home. I know we had a young man up there in Garland in the First Assembly of God Church. He was a young minister. He went to Southwestern Bible Institute, and then he was there, sought his youth minister. And he also worked for his dad-in-law. Well, there was an accident, an explosion. And actually, again, it wasn't God's fault. He and his brother-in-law and his dad-in-law had warned them again and again, don't do that. handle gasoline around an open flame. And his dad-in-law, you see, had warned he and his own son, you see, the brother, don't do that. And they just persisted in doing it. Well, now that's not God's fault. You can't blame that on God. Because, you see, first they knew better. Secondly, they'd been warned at least 3 different times, don't do that. You just can't handle gasoline around an open flame. And somewhere or another, this fire's right there, and he had a 5 gallons of gasoline. See, just a big can, you know, with an open top. Some sloshed out over there into that open flame, you know. And of course, he just jumped right up there into that can and exploded all over him, and he's burned severely. Well, they rushed him down there to Baylor, you see, and doctors wouldn't anybody take it. They said he'd be dead in 45 minutes. And he said later himself, you see, he couldn't see because he's enveloped in flames and actually panicked and started to run. His brother-in-law had to run him down, you see, and rolled him on the ground, you know, and rolled out the flame, but then he is burned so badly. And he couldn't get his eyes open because it's swollen up and he couldn't see. And he had been unconscious, but he came conscious enough there in the emergency room to hear these doctors talking. None of them said, well, there's just no need to fool with him. I mean, he'll be dead in 45 minutes. And some way or another, he got a hold of one of these doctors. He didn't know who it was. His hand was laying down off of the stretcher, you know, and pulled somebody's breeches leg, your pants leg, you know, and tried to say something. So this doctor reached down his ear down to his mouth, and he said, no, I'll live and not die. God will help me. And so this was a Baptist young man, doctor, and he said, well, if you got that kind of faith, I'll take the case. Well, now that fellow kept living and until he made a believer in the Holy Ghost and in tongues out of that Baptist doctor. Because he'd get this jerking all over, you know, because of the nervous shock and all, and he'd just say, I've got to pray, and start praying in tongues. And where they had him, you see, they would, they had constantly where they could hear him because they didn't have anybody always there with him. And he'd go out all over the hospital. He'd get to praying and singing. He'd pray and sing in tongues for an hour and just quieting right down. This Baptist doctor said, I see something. Said, he's in the spirit and the spirit's dominating the flesh. Now, you see, he lived for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then, I don't know, I guess he just got tired and he finally gave up. And the doctors then begged him. This doctor said, son, you ought to die. We all said you're going to. Every doctor said you're going to die. Medically speaking, you ought to die. There's not any reason in the world now why you should die. No medical reason why you should die. You're over the crisis. You should live. Not a reason in the world why you should die. You made a believer out of me. Now don't go ahead and die and leave us. But you know he went ahead and died and left him because that's what he desired to do.
Praise God.
He told his wife, he said, well, now I got to singing there in tongues. And I had a vision. He said, it just seemed like the whole ceiling opened up, you know. And he saw the heaven of Jerusalem. And he wanted to go. So he went on. And yet the doctor said, begged him not to. Said, no reason in the world for you to die now. Not a reason in the world. You ought to have died on my counter now. We know that. You should have died. You shouldn't die now. You shouldn't die now. You don't have to die now. I know that. But he did because that's what he desired. Now you can't make somebody else desire what you desire. Are you listening to me? And you can't push your desires off on somebody else. But if you can get them to agree with you, great things happen. Praise God. Amen. Well, when other people, their wills and their desires are involved, then we'll have to work on getting them to agree with us. When it comes to us and as an individual, praise God, I know this, God's word works. I proved it for 43 years. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you'll receive them and you will have them. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now then, let's come down here. So number 5 was to sincerely desire the benefits that you asked of God. And I wanted to get off over another area so you'd know that you're not going to be able to push your desires off on somebody else. You know, really, if you could, God would push his desires off on us, wouldn't he?
Amen.
But he gives us his word and gives us the choice to walk the word or reject it, whatever we want to do, you know. Now, of course, you've got folks on the other side. Well, now, you know, God's all powerful and God can do anything he wants to do. You know, and God will do it, you know, just if he has to, just knock heads together, whatever. He'll do it whether or no. But I was preaching up in North Texas there in the church, and I got off on that, you know, and I said, some people think that God can just do anything he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, wherever he wants to do it, and under any kind of circumstances. And it was a fellow sitting in the second seat from the front, in the center pew, that just spoke right out loud and said, "Amen, bless God, I do." Now, I didn't know the fellow. He really wasn't a member of this church, the pastor said. I didn't know at that time he wasn't, because I was new there to that church. Pastor said, "I don't even know him." But he just happened to come that night, see. But he just blurted right out loud, "Amen, bless God, I do." Now, I didn't know the man. Never seen him before in my life. The pastor had never seen him before in his life. Without thinking, I know the Spirit of God inspired me, see. Without thinking, I said, "Well, if he can, why don't he make you pay your tithes?" How did I know he didn't pay tithes? See, God did. You know that fella ducked down behind the seat. Boy, that shut him up. He ducked down behind the pew. You know, they had solid wooden pews like these over here, you know, or somewhere, you know. And he ducked down by there where I couldn't see him, you know. That shut him up there, didn't see? If God can do anything he wants to do, why don't he make you pay your tithes? No, see, God gives you his word. He tells you about paying tithes. He tells you about giving offerings. He tells you the blessings and the benefits of it. He lets you make your own design, your own will, your own choice about it. Amen. Isn't that right? Sure, that's right.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. For more life-changing resources from Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, Craig Hagin, Lynette Hagin, and Denise Hagin Burns, check out our online bookstore. This month's special offer is just $45. Untapped Power of Praise book by Kenneth Hagin. Scriptures for Healing, Peace, and Success, a USB drive by Kenneth E. Hagin and Lynette Hagin. Craig Hagin's CD, What Do You Have on the Inside? And Denise Hagin Burns' CD, Living a God-Conscious Life. Four life-changing resources, one incredible price of $45. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org, rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so email us today at partnerservice@rhema.org. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
It's not too late to still apply for the spring enrollment of Rhema Bible Training College.
Oh, yes.
And so if you are interested in coming and learning more about the Word of God,
yes,
then I would encourage you to apply for our spring enrollment.
Yes.
Monday, Kenneth E. Hagin will continue this powerful teaching. That's next week on Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. Have a great weekend.